You know, in the Bible, there's over 32,000 promises made from God to man. Over 32,000 promises. And this particular promise that we're going to look at is, in my estimation, the greatest promise in the book. Let's take a look at John chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, this is a continuation of what we were talking about last week.
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God."
Now, if you believe God, you believe this. He says, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, today we're talking about the Spirit. Now, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Again, last week we talked about the water, and if you're not born of that water, you can't make it into heaven. He said, "He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It said, "Baptism doth now also save us." We found out that it's vital to be baptized. Not up to what we want to do. That's what the Bible says, so we know it. Now, he says you've got to be born of the Spirit. We have to know from the Bible what is he talking about, okay? Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9.
"But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his."
Now see, Jesus isn't saying it's a good idea. He said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if you want to start playing games about what about this guy, what about this guy, what about this guy, the Bible says, "Judge ye not, lest ye be judged." Don't worry about them. What about you? You cannot make it. You're seeing it. Unless you're born of water and Spirit, you cannot make it. If you don't have His Spirit, you are none of His. Isn't that what it says? Mm-hmm. All right, turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 8.
"The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit."
Now they're talking about being born of water and Spirit. And Jesus goes on in the 8th verse, and you can follow it in your version, but in this version it says, "The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound that it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. It's like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, Jesus, in that version, as you read it, it says the same thing. The only reason I use this one is because it makes it crystal clear. What I say, my interpretation, if you will, and I'm not adding or taking away from it, it says, the wind blows wherever it wants to, and you cannot see the wind. But he says, you hear it. Isn't that what it said? And what does Jesus say about people being born of the Holy Ghost? He says, so is who? Everyone. Everybody see that it says everyone? He says, talking about the Holy Ghost. You can't see the Holy Ghost. God's a Spirit. He says, you will not see the Holy Ghost. He said, but you will what? You will hear it. Everyone. Now, is God a liar?
No.
You'll hear a sound. Hey, when a kid's born in the hospital and they come out, what's the first thing the doctor looks for? That sound. That sound. Why? That's a sign of healthiness, right? They look for that sound. The Lord said you got to be born of the water and Spirit in order to be enter the kingdom of God. You got to be born of the water and the Spirit, all right? And there will be a sound from everyone. Now, today you talk to different people in different religious ranks, and they say you don't need this, you do need this. We're going by the Bible. The Lord said that there would be a sound from how many people? This is important for you to know. This is so important. From everyone. See, because you leave the room and you'll talk to people about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you stuff today that you can talk to anybody. They'll start coming at you with different things, but they're going to leave. They're going to add to the Bible, or they're going to take away. Do you know the parallels from God's physical people, the Jews, and His spiritual people, the church, are incredible, how they run the same. Israel's the only nation in the Bible, or in the world, that said that they would come back, that they would be born again. The Bible prophesied that Israel would come back as a nation. And for thousands of years, that never happened. Well, May 15, 1948, what happened? Israel came back as a nation. Israel's the only nation on the face of the earth that once they were destroyed, ever came back. I mean, how many Amalekites do you know today? How many Moabites do you know? You know, when those people were gone and destroyed, that was the end. The Bible said they would come back. So God's physical people, the nation of Israel, were born again. On the other side, His spiritual people, the church, we too have to be born again. You find out that under Israeli law, all the men have to fight. It's not a suggestion. They have to fight. On the spiritual side, when you're a Christian, if you decide to make a stand for God and to repent of your sins and to be baptized, I got news for you. Don't do it unless you understand. You are making a decision to fight. Every single Christian, there is no such thing as a Christian that is not in the army of the Lord. If you cease to be in the army of the Lord, you are no longer a Christian. There's the parallel is incredible. They have to fight to defend that nation. Christians are not, it's just not a nice little born-again funny thing to do. It's a way of life. All right? On the other side, when the Jews were destroyed in 70 AD and scattered throughout, you know, the entire earth, they lost all of the things they were recognized for. They lost their food, they lost their dress traditions. You know, you got Jews in Poland, you got Jews in Russia, you got Jews all over the earth, and they don't have Jerusalem no more, right? They're destroyed as a nation. So here these Jews are living all over the world with all these different peoples. They lost their identity. When they came back in 1948, you know what Ben Gurion made them do? He forced every Israelite there, he made them learn Hebrew. God's physical people have a common language. And I got news for you. God's spiritual people have a common language. And you'll find that out. Okay? In the late 1800s, when they started coming back into Israel, you find out that they began trickling in under the Belfast, I can't remember the name of the Belfast Declaration or whatever from England. The Jews started coming back into Palestine, late 1800s, early 1900s. And up until 1940, they began coming in greater and greater numbers. More and more started coming there. And it's interesting, in the 1900s, right at the turn of the 19th century, 1901, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost started happening. As people started coming back into Jerusalem, God's physical people, God began pouring out the Holy Ghost at the same measure. You know what I'm saying? As they came back in the physical, spiritual things were happening the same way. It's really awesome when you see what God's doing between his physical people and his natural people. This promise is the greatest thing. God was looking forward to pouring out the Holy Ghost more than anything that I can find in the Bible. You start reading the Bible, you find out God in the Old Testament anticipating what he wanted to do in the New Testament. He didn't want to hang around the wings of cherubims. He didn't want to move on man. He wanted to take up residence inside of us. This is the greatest thing I believe God was looking for. Turn back to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions.
Now the Jews knew these scriptures. You know, in the time when Jesus was walking the face of this earth, they knew about these prophecies. He said that he's going to pour out a spirit on all flesh, prophesied in Joel. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11 and 12.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
Again, prophecy in the Old Testament about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He says that in the New Testament, Paul quotes the scripture. He says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Let's go to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
All these scriptures are talking about an event that's going to happen. Here he says, after me, someone's going to come greater than me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, if you had lived in that time period, you'd have been very excited looking for the one that he's talking about, right? He says, listen, after me is coming somebody that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So they're looking for this event to happen. There's a great expectancy. If you go over to John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39,
he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Notice what he says, the first thing out of his mouth. People like to say, you know, they received the Holy Ghost when they believed on the Lord. A lot of people want to ignore a lot of the things that God has said and just take certain things. And you cannot do that. We know from the Bible study, you've got to take all of what God says, the full counsel of God, everything he said. First thing he said, he that believe on me as what? The scripture says, right? You believe on me, well, how? Like the book says. You believe on me like the book says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, a lot of times people see that and they go, well, I wonder what that means. If you had a concordance and you looked under rivers of living water, you would find out that this is talking about God. In the Old Testament, God says, I am the river of living water. All right? So he's saying, if you believe on me like the scripture says, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow God. And then it goes on and it clarifies it and it says, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. Believed on him how? Like the book said. He said, for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. The Holy Ghost wasn't poured out because Jesus was walking around in bodily form. He didn't come back in the form of spirit. He was walking around. And the Holy Ghost was not given because he was still walking around. It says, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That means he wasn't killed and he didn't ascend yet. He was still here. But he's talking about the Holy Ghost. All right, turn over to Acts chapter number 1. See, This does get very exciting. And these people, you can almost feel it as it starts to come here, scripture by scripture, what these guys must have been anticipating. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Also jump over and read verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Jesus, before he's ascending, right? If you look at this, let's see here. First of all, in Acts 1 and 3, it says, talking about the Lord, he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, right? It says, being seen of them, talking about the disciples, for 40 days. Now watch this. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After he had rose from the dead, he had a 40-day Bible study with these guys. These guys knew what they were commissioned to go and do. When they baptized in the name of Jesus, they didn't make no mistakes. The Lord spent 40 days with them, teaching them everything they needed to know before they left. Then he went on to say, you shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Go and wait, right? So here they're waiting for this promise. And in verse 8, when it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, the word power there is from the Greek word dunamos, which is where we get our word dynamite. He says, you will receive dunamos. That's what it literally said if you look in the Greek there. When the Holy Ghost has come on you, what is he talking about? He's talking about life-changing power. Now you find out in a minute, these same apostles who, when remember what happened with Peter? When the Lord said, you'll deny me, you know, three times before it hits morning, right? Peter had seen him walk on water. Peter had seen him raise dead people. Peter had seen this. If anybody ever had strong willpower, don't tell me Peter didn't. He's seen God doing miracles. He said, I'll never deny it. I'm confident he was as convinced as anybody that he was going to hang tough with the Lord. The chips were down. He says, I don't even know him. I don't even know him. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He gets the Holy Ghost in a little while, and he could care less if they kill him. It's life-changing power. I don't belong teaching anybody anything about the Word of God. It's only by the power of the Holy Ghost that I can possibly sit here and open my mouth about the things concerning God. Life-changing power. And I got news for you. We can all be Christians, and we can all be walking towards God, but we all have to have that Holy Ghost. We have to be born of the water and spirit to have life-changing power to help us persevere and keep on going. There's no way without it. People get mad at me. They say, you telling me I don't have the Holy Ghost the way you're talking about it, and I haven't even got there yet, but you don't have the Holy Ghost the way that that you're saying, and that God doesn't deal with me, God doesn't do things for me. Of course God does things for you. It's like I made the analogy last week, I think, about the woman who has the baby inside of her. Well, that kid is alive. There's life, right? But there's not birth. The kid hasn't been born. There's life, and there's life with every one of you. Why do you think God drew you? Why do you think God brought you to a cell? Why do you think God brought you to a Bible study? Because he's drawing you, but you're not born again. To be born again the Bible way, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And for, if you're born of the Spirit, it's not, well, I have tingled on my back. Oh, now, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there is a sound from everyone that was filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? Let me ask you, can a blind man judge an art contest? Of course not. Can a deaf guy judge a singing contest? No. And neither can the average Joe Blow on the street try to discern any of the stuff that we're talking about. You know, it's like the blind guy trying to look at the art contest. He cannot do it. Let's turn over, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 14.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Let me give you an analogy. I heard a guy once talk about eagles and bears, and he was talking about eagles being colored blind. And he said, well, these guys who study eagles have wrote books on them, and they say that they're colorblind. And I might even have the wrong animal, I don't know, but you'll get my point. And this was Lee Stonking. He went on to say, he said, but now how can they say that when they're not an eagle? He said, they're writing this by observation, right? What they know. He said, but they could never really know what that eagle thought because they don't have the spirit of an eagle. They have the spirit of a man. It's like the bear. You know, he's talking about this bear, what the bear does. But you don't know what a bear's thinking. You're not a bear. You don't have the spirit of a bear. And see, what you were just reading, when it talks about, it says, verse 11 says, what man knows the things of a man except by the spirit of a man that's in him? That's how you know about mankind, because you got the spirit of a man. And it goes on to say, now we've received not the spirit of the world, in verse 12, but the spirit of God. Now if you look at verse 14, it ties it all together. It says, but the natural man, the guy on the brick saying this is demonic and it's a cult, I got news for you. He's way off. You know why? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Why? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Because he doesn't have the spirit of that eagle or of that bear. You see what I'm saying? He can't understand those things. He doesn't have the spirit of God. We're in a position now where we can know the things of God, because God's going to give us not only the spirit of man, but God's going to put his spirit in you. Now you can say, wow, I got both. You see what I'm saying? God makes it possible for everyone. And as I talk about the Holy Ghost, something that's real important is some people may not have the Holy Ghost the Bible way. And you begin thinking, oh, it's for someone else. No. It is for everyone. Jesus Christ died on that cross for every single one of us, and it's his will that every single person have the Holy Ghost the Bible way. So if you hear something today that's different, please remember, God wants it. It's for you to have it. It's for every one of us, all right? Very important. But you see, the natural guy, of course, this doesn't make any sense because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, when you get the Holy Ghost, biblically, all of a sudden you're reading and them scriptures take on a whole different light. The way you think takes on a different light. Because what happened? Because you just received supernatural power in your life, dunamos, the power of God in your life. All right? Okay, and you know, you get a lot of false teachings on this. And this is real important that you know this too, because you leave the room, people start talking to you, right? And say, well, I think this. One of the common things that people say is, everyone has the Holy Ghost the minute they believe. Now, that's not Bible. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from hell. You don't have the Holy Ghost the minute you believe. Here we got all these apostles, right? Let's turn over to Acts chapter number 1. No, I'm sorry, let's see. Acts chapter 1, verse 13, 14, and 15.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120.
Here they are in this upper room, waiting for the promise Jesus told them about the Holy Ghost. Now, people say you receive the Holy Ghost the minute you believe, right? This is as good a group of believers you're going to find in the Bible. You got all the apostles, you got Mary, the mother of Jesus. They're all sitting here waiting for the Holy Ghost. They're believers waiting for the Holy Ghost. That shows you that, you know, you don't have the Holy Ghost when you believe. When you use the word a believer or a disciple, you're talking about someone who's Christ-like, a Christian, right? A believer or a follower. Okay. Now, these people say the minute they believed, This is very, very popular teaching in Easy Believism today. The minute you believe, you have the Holy Ghost. I'm sure you've all heard this. In verse chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. You see that? He found a group of believers. Now, according to this teaching, you have the Holy Ghost the minute you believe, right? Look what Paul asks this group of believers. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, why would he ask such a stupid question if you get the Holy Ghost the minute you believe? You see what I'm saying? That's a ridiculous question for him to ask. You see the point. You have received the Holy Ghost when you believe. Here's a group of people that did believe, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Ghost? Because there's a uniform, universal evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. What did the Bible say? What did Jesus say? There would be what? A sound. Jesus said that. There would be a sound from everyone. And these bozos that want to say it's demonic and it's not from God, I challenge them. Jesus said this. And remember, they are lesser priests. Jesus Christ is the high priest. They're supposed to be working for them, for him. He's the high priest. All right. Turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
First of all, verse 2, it said there came a sound from where? From hell, huh? There came a sound from tongues or from the devil. There came a sound from hell, and Satan rode in. No, it says there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said the wind blows where it wants to. He's talking about the wind blowing and you can't hear it. And all of a sudden here it's talking about the wind blowing again. The wind come in. And all of a sudden it says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire. Now I want you to see, there's all the apostles here and there's Mary the mother of Jesus and some of these women. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The first outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the Bible is right here. And it says all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what is the evidence that we have from the Bible, jury? What happened to them when they received the Holy Ghost? It says they all spake with other what?
Tongues.
They all spake with other tongues. Okay. Now, this is a good time. If you don't agree with this and you don't like this, tear this page out now would be a good time to get rid of this page. Okay? As the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, as you read on, it says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born? Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and all parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God, right? Notice how many different languages are there? These apostles all filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, and all these people hear them speaking a lot of languages. Now, people say this is the only time that they spoke in tongues. Many churches will tell you God did this to show you this was the birth of the New Testament church. Speaking in tongues, this was his way to jumpstart the church and show you this was the beginning of it, which is really a hose job. Because as you go through the Bible, like I said, Acts 19 is 23 years later. And they're still receiving the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. We find out the Bible says when you repent and you're baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said the promise is unto you and your children, and many is are far off for everybody. Okay? But here these guys are, they're all speaking in tongues. And in verse 12 it says, they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And you know, that guy had to be an idiot. Because he's saying they're drunk. You know, here's these guys speaking 15 different languages or whatever, and some clown says they're drunk. Well, if you've ever been drunk before, it's hard to speak your own language, more or less learning some new, you know, Arabian or Crete or whatever, you know? Unbelievable. It's, here's Peter. Now, here's the guy that denied the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and listen unto my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, do you guys remember the scripture we started out with, Joel? It said, Joel said, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now, here they are at Pentecost. What is Pentecost? This day of Pentecost business is they're all here together, these Jews from all over, for the feast day of Pentecost. That's 50 days out of coming out of bondage and all that, right? And God had given them the law 50 days after they came out. 50 days later, it's called Pentecost. So they're celebrating the feast day. Well, God, now in the New Testament, instead of writing the law, he decides to give it, write their law on their hearts. This is the Holy Ghost. So he takes the day of Pentecost, uses the day of Pentecost as the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he says, they're not drunk as you suppose, he says, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Now picture this. Here the Apostle Peter's up here preaching now. He's not afraid anymore. He's got this power. He's got the Holy Ghost. He's up there standing there preaching. And he says, this is that which is spoken by Prophet Joel. And here's these people all speaking in tongues. He says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. He quotes Joel. And the Jews knew the scriptures well. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now here they're speaking in tongues, and Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. You see that? He's saying, this is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of times people get mixed up, and they think that I'm trying to magnify speaking in tongues. I am not magnifying speaking in tongues at all. I'm trying to tell you it is the only biblical evidence of someone receiving the Holy Ghost. We're having a Bible study. How do you receive the Holy Ghost Bible? And it's important because the Bible says if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. So instead of sitting there trying to split hairs with somebody about what it is, you better say to God, I want it. What does the Bible say? All right? The Bible says that there's a sound from everyone who's filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So anyways, he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. All right. Turn over to Acts chapter number 2 and verse 37 through 39.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
And catch that last part of verse 39. Who is this promise of the Holy Ghost to? He says, if you repent and you're baptized. It's a promise from God. He said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on and says, that promise is for even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So when you get this guy that tells you it's for way back then, I got news for you. He's overriding what God said. God said it's for as many as he wants to give it to. And it wasn't confined to, you know, some people, to 120 people back here. But you notice the order again. Some people, I see people trying to receive the Holy Ghost biblically, and they don't receive the Holy Ghost sometimes. And I, you know, you got to come back to a question. You say, have you repented? Now, let's look over at Mark chapter 16, and verse 16 and 17.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
Did you know that out of the thousands of manuscripts that they have from the first century and second century of the Gospel of Mark, that two of them have omitted the 16th chapter, and every other one has it. So to fit the doctrine that they want, it's a common fact that the Gospel of Mark was late and added on. Stone King talks on one tape where they buried a mummified guy, and in his chest from the first century was the book of Mark with the 16th chapter intact. No, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. You shall speak with new tongues. Now, I believe it because he also said there would be a sound from everyone. You know? You gotta have more faith not to believe than to believe it when you start seeing this. You gotta have more faith not to believe. You know, the gospel wasn't preached to anybody except for Jews up until the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Now we go over to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. I think I told you last week this is where you find the first Bible study in the Bible. In Acts chapter 10. Cornelius got all his friends and relatives together. The Bible tells us that, his kinsmen and his neighbors. He brings them into the house, and the Apostle Peter sets foot in his house. This is the first time the Apostle would set foot in a Gentile house. They thought the Gentiles were unclean. God had to deal with him. If you read the chapter, you know, you find out that God did some things to show him, sent an angel to him, show him that he should go and preach to them. But he gets in here, and he starts preaching, and let's read verse 44 through 46.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
Now here, like I said, the first time, it said they all received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues, right? Jesus said these signs will follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Here it is in Acts 10. First time it was preached to people like ourselves. What happened? They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they received the Holy Ghost, and it said, how? And it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So, I mean, it's there. They spoke with tongues in this one also. Now, if you turn over to Acts chapter 19, and earlier we looked at the scripture when Paul said to these guys, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And it's funny because it's like this scripture hasn't changed. It's like our day today. If you go up to some clerk at Super America, you start talking about religion, and you say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They answer you just like this. Verse 2, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, the lady at Super America or most other places, they said, we've not even heard whether there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? Right? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And it goes on to say, when they were heard this, they got rebaptized. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they felt a cold shiver down their spine and said, wow, this is amazing.
No.
The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. They didn't have a tingling down their back. They didn't, you know, this is below, all the stuff we hear is baloney. It's ridiculous. Well, I know because I felt something. Where does the scripture say you'll know? Because you'll feel something. I was convicted. That's great. That's wonderful. But you know what? The Bible warns us against philosophies and traditions of men. That's baloney, buddy. Stay in the book. When they received the Holy Ghost in the Bible, they spoke with tongues. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. You know, there's uniformity with God. God didn't leave it up to us to pick and choose and guess. One thing in common is there's going to be a sound from everybody. And don't forget that. Okay? And you notice what it said there? Verse 7, the next verse in Acts 19, it said they speak, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And it says in the next verse, and all the men were about 12. It lets you know they all got the Holy Ghost. All of them. Okay? It's not. Some people say, oh, it's for some people. No, it's not. It's for everybody. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. You shall speak with new tongues. Well, I'm a believer and I believe that. And if you're a believer, then that's for you too. If you're not a believer, then it's not for you. Okay? It's not going by feelings or tinglings or anything. What did we learn the first week? Don't add or take away. So if someone tells you they know in their heart when they receive the word of God and have accepted the Lord into their, and you go on with this beautiful speech, you should say, could you show me a chapter, line, and verse for that? Right? And when they can't, you got to say, you know, you're not trying to be sarcastic and start fights. That's not my point. But you have to say, you know, that's nice, and I know you're very sincere, but you left the book. And I know God loves you, and I know God's drawing you, but there's more in the book. I want to expound the word of God on you more. I want to show you a little more what it says. I'm sure you love God. Look, there's more. And if they really love God, they're going to have, wow, I didn't know that. See, our attitude shouldn't be, I'm going to defend why that's not true. Our attitude should be, I want everything that God's got for me. Is there more? I want it all. Send somebody else, God. Anything I'm missing, boy, send it to me. You know, not defending what's in the Bible is not in the Bible. That's ridiculous. I want a Bible experience. I don't know about you guys. I want a Bible experience. You know, we've done too long without Bible experience. We want Bible experience. Okay. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8 and 26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You don't even know how to pray. I sure don't know how to pray. I mean, I'm still learning. You know, it's funny, we can read scriptures in the Bible that talk to us about prayer. And people that sit in church that talk about prayer, you know, sometimes we feel convicted, we feel bad, because we know we're not doing it. And we know God really does want to. See, if we say we love God, how can you say love God and you don't even talk to him? Mm-hmm. You know, we know we're sort of hypocritical. Thank God he's so merciful and he's so patient. He puts up with us and gives us so many chances. But we start feeling bad. And so we go back and we keep on trying to talk to God. And you can start out, you can say, God, you know, I'm so sorry. I love you so much. And you can say, you know, please help me. And you can start to talk to God. And you begin to feel like you've been talking to God for 45 minutes. And you look at your watch and you've been there 3 minutes. And the Bible talks about an hour of prayer. And then most of us, that just freaks us right out. But you know, don't let it do that to you. It's like exercise, you know, which I don't do much of either. You know, it's one of those things where if you start exercising and you try to do your 50 sit-ups or whatever, you discourage yourself and you quit. It's the same thing with prayer. You know, don't even worry about the stopwatch. You just talk to God and work your way into talking to God more and more. But talk to God is the key. But you know, you start talking to God, my point is, and you're so limited in your mind, oh, Lord, keep your hand on my wife and my pastors, and you begin to say these things. And you need to pray both ways. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Doesn't that make sense? So all of a sudden you're praying, you stop praying, you don't understand it, and you pray in tongues. And I'm going to show you that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now some of you are going to have questions as I go through this section, and I'm going to answer the questions before you even have to ask them, I think. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, when you're reading the book of Corinthians, remember, he's addressing different subjects as he goes through. He's talking about one thing, talking about another thing, talking about another thing. Now here, in chapter 12, he starts talking about spiritual gifts. Okay? And then in chapter 14, he's talking about several things. Now, in chapter 14, let's read verse 15.
What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Now I ask you, please be reasonable. Is that say that there's two ways of praying right there? Doesn't it say I'll pray with my understanding? And then he says, and I'll also pray with my spirit? It does say that, doesn't it? Okay? There's two ways to pray. Don't let anybody take this away from you. There's two ways to pray. With your understanding, God help me, help my pastors, help my friends, with your understanding, and with the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercessions for me. I don't even know how to pray. I could be praying for someone in China. I could be praying for one of you guys about to get in an accident. And no, it's just like that satellite dish. Those prayers are being bounced off God and going where they belong. I don't know. There's two ways to pray. Turn over to Jude. That's the book before Revelation. Jude and verse number 20.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Now this is written, these are letters to the church, And it says, we all know, we've heard the scripture mentioned in the Bible study several times. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So when we hear the word of God right now, like today we hear it in all of us, whether we think so or not, something is happening to us. The word of God is quick and powerful. The Bible says it's supernatural. We hear it and something happens. There's faith instilled in us. But how do you make that faith? See, that faith by itself, you go out, is not going to do much without building on that faith. Without, you know, I mean, if you're not growing, you are dying, is a statement in a lot of treatment centers. I know, because I was in a lot of treatment centers. I've seen these things often, you know. You're not growing, you're dying. Oh, boy. They carried over. I remember that in my spiritual walk, it's the same thing. If I'm not growing, I'm dying, you know. But here it says, building up your most holy faith. How? How do you build up your faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what it says, right? So now I ask people, I say, well, here you got an instruction from God telling you to pray in the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? And you know what a lot of sincere people tell me? They won't say that's praying in tongues. They say, I agree with that. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that means to pray sincerely. And I say, well, that's nice that you said that, but it doesn't say pray sincerely. It says pray in the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Okay, let's find out what praying in the Holy Ghost is. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's so important to pray in the Holy Ghost because you're getting your battery charged. You don't even know what you're praying. And you know, so many times we're neglecting that. Don't be neglecting that. That's how you build up your faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Now the one scripture said pray in the Holy Ghost, right? Now this scripture tells us pray in the Spirit. They're telling us the same thing. We learned last week, God is what? Or 2 weeks ago, God is holy, He's a Spirit. There's only one Spirit, the Lord is that Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, interchangeable words. He says pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. Both of these tell us the same thing, right? So you're encouraged from the Word of God several times to pray in the Holy Ghost. And people say it means sincere. I'm telling you that's not what it means. It'd be real nice if the Bible said, if you pray in a tongue, then your spirit's praying. I mean, that would answer it, right? It would make it real clear to us that that's exactly what that means. Well, you see, the Bible does say that. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 tells you,
for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Okay, now according to that scripture, it says, my spirit prayeth. See in the middle of the verse, my spirit prayeth? The Bible told us to pray in the Spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, according to the scripture, when is your spirit praying? When you're praying in an unknown tongue. Now, some the theological, you know, rocket scientists will say, yeah, but the word unknown there is italicized. That's good. Take it out. Now, what do you got? If I speak in a tongue, fine. Throw it out. You got the same thing. You're talking in tongues. You know, and you find out here, some people will go on and say later, you'll read the rest of this chapter and says, but in church, if you speak in unknown tongues, maybe by two or by three. And I got news for you. That's right. He's talking about something else. Look at verse 19.
Yet in church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
But that's talking about what are the first four words? Yet in where? In church. See, God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't want everybody coming in with a revelation, a prophecy, a tongue, and turning this into a circus. And you find out there's some instructions when you talk about gifts of the Spirit, you find out there's some instruction how that's supposed to be, you know, worked. And we talk about that a little bit, how a real church service is supposed to be a little while later, you know, what's supposed to go on from the Bible in a church service. The universal sign of receiving the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. The reason we need to speak in tongues also is a prayer life. That is the main reason. We receive power when the Holy Ghost comes, but we need a prayer life. That is why we receive the Holy Ghost. Now, everyone's different. Some people are shy. Some are timid. Some are loud. Some are very emotional. Some are introverts, and some are extroverts. The sign is the same. The sign is the same. Now, why did God choose the strangeness of speaking in tongues as evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost? Well, there's several reasons. One being partly that the tongue is usually the last part of our body that will yield itself or suspend itself to God. All right? The tongue, according to James chapter 3, is the most unruly part of our body. A person's tongue is brought under subjection. If a person's tongue is brought under subjection, mastery of that person is possible. It is impossible until the tongue is brought under subjection. The uniform external evidence of speaking with tongues is God's way of verifying His dominion over someone's life. So you find out, like I say, everybody's different, but you find out one thing in common. When people yield their tongue to God, they have yielded everything to Him. Because that's the hardest thing. And I'm going to tell you a few stories about that, because I've seen people that wanted to receive the Holy Ghost biblically. They've seen in the Scripture what happened. They wanted that, but they'd go to an altar or stand before God, and their mind, man, just could not release their tongue. You know what I mean? Their mind said, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. God never said, you'll receive the Holy Ghost when it makes sense. God wants us to yield. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. What we do know is in the Bible, God tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. He said when they all received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. It's a fact, okay? Interesting thing. Some people will tell us different things about speaking in tongues, and they'll show you some scriptures. I want you to be prepared for this. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 8.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Let's look at that scripture. This is the love chapter. It's called the love chapter. No matter which gift of the Spirit you have, you don't love people, you're useless. I mean, you know, forget about love. You got to have love before any of these other gifts are important, right? It's telling you love is important. So it says there, it says, love will never fail. Now watch. Where there's prophecies, God talks through people through prophecies. He says, that will fail. It says, where there'll be tongues, they shall cease. And this is the guy's article, tongues have ceased. Look at the next part. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away from our earth today?
No.
Knowledge hasn't vanished away.
No.
Neither have tongues, and neither have prophecies. I say to this guy, read on. It says, for now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, anybody care to take a stab at who that is?
Jesus.
When we're with Jesus, you ain't going to need no tongues and interpretation. Because God's going to be talking to you direct. And it goes down in verse 12, it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's talking about these gifts of the Spirit and these things. He said, we won't need that when we're with Him. That's when tongues will cease. Guy says, tongues cease. The Bible says, no, it didn't, pal. Read on. So will the knowledge vanish away and all this other stuff. All former things, the Bible tells us, are going to be passed away. When we're with Him, that's not talking about now. Knowledge isn't vanished away. Well, how ridiculous. But see, people will point to that. Now, if you wouldn't have seen that, and somebody came up and showed you, they went, oh yeah, it says that. You know? Or another one that's really a good one that you hear from people, and these are the most common ones I'm just showing you. Chapter 12. This is great. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and verse 29. It says, are all apostles? You know what the answer to that is? No. Absolutely not. Are all prophets? No. Are all apostles? No. Are all teachers? Nope. Are all workers of miracles? Absolutely not. Have all the gifts of healing? Nope. Do all speak with tongues? Nope. Do all interpret? Nope. Now see, now all of a sudden people are going, wait a minute. You just got through telling us everyone who receives the Holy Ghost is going to speak in tongues, and now you're saying no. Right? Again, now doesn't this appear to be a contradiction? This isn't a contradiction at all. When you start looking into this, if you read the 12th chapter of the book of Corinthians, it talks about spirit, gifts of the Spirit, right? And there the gifts of the Spirit are. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. This is gifts that God gives His church. You know, at a church service, God can move on someone to speak and another one to speak, and then someone will interpret miraculous things. Many of us have encountered miraculous things through these gifts of God's Spirit in a church. Here it's talking about, does everybody speak in tongues? Absolutely not. But we're not talking about the same thing. What, when you start up your car, what gives your car the power to start?
Battery.
Good. What makes the power antenna work? Battery. What makes the windows, the lights, the whole ball of wax, every accessory that you have in that car, the tape player, everything, you need what? The battery. Well, the Holy Ghost, before you can have a gift of the Holy Ghost, you got to have the battery. You got to have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you're then eligible for a gift of the Holy Ghost. Unbelievable. You know, people jump over here, do all speak in tongues? That's not talking about receiving. See, if that was the case, here, if somebody shows you, come up to you and says, well, here, Russ, look here, do all speak in tongues? Is everybody a prophet? You'd have to go, no, 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 and then you'd feel about this big. Well, I guess he's right. No, he's not right. This is talking about gifts of the Spirit in the church, because Jesus said in another place, these signs will follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, is he lying there? Of course not. Jesus didn't contradict himself. One place say, you'll speak in tongues, and another place say, not everyone's going to speak in tongues. If you believe it, right? That doesn't even make sense. That's why you know we're talking about something different here. This is gifts of the Spirit. Totally, totally different. You can't have the accessories without the battery. You can't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit without the Holy Ghost. Remember Romans 8 and 9? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I mean, if we don't like that or do like it, it doesn't matter. That's what it says. Now, whenever you think of different denominational men that lead churches, they're supposed to be spiritual, are they not? Whatever background they're from. You know, if someone's leading my church, I hope that he is a spiritual man. If he's leading a Lutheran church or a Catholic church or whatever, we would all hope and pray that they are spiritual men, correct? Now, you know, regarding this tongues issue, Paul has a message to spiritual people. I like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Now, if you think you're spiritual, that scripture would go for any man of God in any church, wouldn't it? Would you guys all agree with me? He said, if a man thinks himself to be a prophet, that's a preacher, or spiritual, you better acknowledge that the things that Paul's writing are the commandments of who? The Lord. But we know that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the Bible study, we know that this is God's word. Regarding tongues, what does God say? And I laugh because I say, here's St. Paul's church. And I knock on the door of St. Paul's and I say, do you believe what Paul taught? No. They don't believe it. Look at what he said here. He said, if you think you're spiritual, you better acknowledge these things are the commandments of God. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet, that means desire to prophesy, and what? Forbid not to speak with tongues. How can some jerk forbid you to speak in tongues today? How can they do that? The Bible says forbid not to speak with tongues. You know, when you start talking about people receiving the Holy Ghost and people that wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, a lot of people have a lot of different stories. I think about my wife and I. When we first came this way, God got a hold of me. My wife, of course, thought I was in a cult and I was I was nuts, and she told me to stay away from her and her kids. And all of a sudden, the kids were her kids. You stay away from me and my kids. You and Jesus, you know, you're nuts. She thought I snapped and went from a dope fiend to a Jesus freak, you know, so stay away. And my whole family thought I had really snapped, and rightly so. I mean, here I am, you know, six weeks earlier, cashing bad checks and robbing and stealing stuff from my own family. Now I'm telling them they need the Lord. That's a hard pill to swallow, you know. But as God began to get a hold of my wife and my family, things began to happen. We were in church one night, my wife and myself, and they had what they call Lighthouse Children's Church. And they called us out of church near the end of the service, and they said, come quick, your son. And we're going, what's wrong? You know, we're just freaked out. You think he fell off the balcony or something. You know, you don't know what's going on. So we quick run out, and here's my boy, and I'll never forget that, sitting at the altar with his hands up to heaven, tears running down his face, speaking in tongues. You talk about something fake. I wish I could have had a video recorder. You know, my son, the same boy, one time we invited a Catholic nun here to an Easter play. And at the end of the play, the power of God was so strong, and Gary didn't care about, he was just in a place where he really didn't care about friends or anything at that time. His mind was just really, it was really a neat thing. He got out in the aisle there, and the power of God was so strong, it was like they were singing, He has risen. And you know, you could feel the power of God. And Gary stood there and just shook, speaking in tongues, right? And this nun is looking at my son, shaking, you know, and my flesh is going, uh-oh, cover him up, hide him, get him out of the way, you know? Ridiculous. But then the spiritual side of me, God says, pray with your boy. Go pray with your boy. You know, and I went, wow. And I go over, and I didn't care about the nun, and I laid my hands on my son, and I said, that's it, son, worship God. And I started speaking in tongues, praying with my boy. The nun loved it. She knew that was from God. The nun, they got charismatic movements. They know it's real. Are you kidding? We're worried about, you know, what someone will think. Half the time you bring someone to church service is powerful, you think they're going to think you're nuts. God brought them there because he knows that's what they needed. You know, my wife, she got baptized. She said, I know I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost. I know I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost. I go, you won't. I know I'm not going to get. She talked herself into it, you know. The Bible says faith, you know. Oh, I believe you, God. She said, I know I won't. She didn't get it. She kept going back to that altar. Then she said, you know what my wife thought? She thought, and many people think this, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You know, she is worthy. None of us are worthy, but God loves every one of us. It's for every single one of us. There'll be a sound from everyone. She got baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost several months later. My father, he's the guy that seen this in the Bible, and he knew it was true. He got baptized in Jesus' name, but the Holy Ghost, he could not grasp this. So he would go to the altar trying to get the Holy Ghost. And he knew that he needed the Holy Ghost biblically. Speaking in tongues, I told you, I'm not magnifying tongues. Speaking in tongues is the evidence that God has taken up residence in you. That is the only biblical evidence. He said, if you repent and you're baptized, you'll receive it. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. God, it's a promise from God, right? So my dad would go down to the altar, And I'd say, Dad, think about, you know, I'm trying to instill some faith in my dad. I'd say, think about what God's done for me and Scott and all my brothers, you know. And my dad would hold up his hands, and tears would come out of his face. And he'd say, I love you, Jesus. And I'm going, that's it, Dad, you know. And then he'd go, oh, this ain't going to work. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to figure this out. The Bible, like Stone King talks about, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Stone King says, some of these smart guys that got to figure everything, cut your head out and throw it to the wind. Trust what God says. Just do it. My dad could not, for whatever reason, he just had a barrier. He was brought up Catholic. He just had such a hard time. He's seen people speaking in tongues. He knew it was true. He wanted it, but he just thought, again, it just wasn't for him. He just couldn't comprehend this. One night, God in his mercy, one night had Lee Stone King preaching. In our church, Lee Stone King's walking down one of the aisles. It's at the end of the service, you know. He's walking up and down the aisles, just finishing his message. And he stops, turns this way, looks over about four people in down a pew, and he says, you need the Holy Ghost. Walks over to my dad, lays his hands on my dad's head, and my dad starts speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. You know? Don't tell me that it's, you know, that how fake it is. Ask my dad. There was a lady at an altar one day. Someone, I was at church, and I didn't really want to go to church this particular day. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise. And sometimes I remember that scripture. It's not what you want to do, Gare. You're not your own anymore. The Bible says he's worthy of the sacrifice of praise. And I really didn't want to come to church. I came to church. And you don't know, God will use all of us in different ways many times over. So I come to church and I'm ready to leave. And there's this guy in our church, an Indian type guy or whatever. And church service is over. And to be real honest with you, I wanted to leave. I was looking forward to leaving. I didn't want to come. Like I told you, it was one of those days. I was in a wrong mood or whatever. I don't know. I wasn't thinking right. But this guy comes up to me and says, oh, Brother Dornbach, my sister's here. And he's all excited, and I'm thinking, so what? Get away from me, you know, I don't care. I'm really not insensitive, I'm kidding, you know, but I just wasn't feeling good, you know. I wasn't as enthused about his sister being there as he was, right? And he said, she needs the Holy Ghost. And I said, that's great, God will give her the Holy Ghost. He says, you come and pray with her. And if you remember where my mindset is, I'm not, you know, I don't, if you have a lot of faith, we don't give the Holy Ghost, God gives the Holy Ghost. We can say, Scripture says you'll receive the Holy Ghost. We can instill faith in people, but God's the giver of the Holy Ghost. I can't do nothing about it. But he thought I would have some faith, and would I come and pray with her? And I said, sure I would. And I came down and prayed, and I said, the Scripture says, you know, if you believe and are baptized, and these signs will follow them, will believe, you'll speak with new tongues. And she said, yeah. And I said, do you believe this? And she said, yeah. I said, I'm going to lay my hand on your head, just like the Bible. I'm going to put my hand on your head, and I'm going to say, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues. I said, just trust God and believe him. They said, will you do that? She said, yeah. I said, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Put my hand on her head, and I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. She just, I mean, I don't know what wasn't connecting, what wasn't happening. I don't know what was my lack of faith. I don't know what was going on, right? So I get up, and I was praying with her for, I tried several times, you know, saying, you just got to trust God, open your mouth, you know, when you're trying to receive the Holy Ghost, don't speak in English. God will give you language. Instead of with stammering lips and another tongue, you know, many times people's lips will be moving, and you can start seeing it, and that's the power of God come on them, but they just can't yield. They just got to, their mind takes over. So we got done with that, and I said, let me tell you a story. I said, my father, for years, just couldn't understand this. I said, one day, this man of God come down the aisle, and my dad, he was in the aisle, and my dad, he stopped and looked at my dad, and he said, you need the Holy Ghost. And he ran over to my dad. I said, I was telling her, my dad was similar to her with having a hard time, but she would eventually receive it is what I was, the point I was trying to make. I said, and he ran over and he laid his hand on my dad's head. My dad started speaking in tongues right away, and she says, I want to do it again. And I said, okay, hey, brother, come here. I taught two or three guys in the church. I said, come here. I said, we're all going to lay our hands on you. I said, and the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you, you're going to speak in tongues. I said, just like the Bible, you believe it? She says, yes. We all put our hands on her, she started speaking in tongues. You know? You start to find out, you know, I mean, so many things like that over and over. The thing is, sure, it's a hard thing, it's something supernatural, but it's really not a hard thing. Yield your tongue, yield yourself to God. God would fill anybody in this room who didn't have the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to put nobody on the spot. If someone wanted the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you could receive the Holy Ghost now. It's simply by trusting what God says and believing it. It is supernatural, you bet. And you know what? Don't tell me that it's for something back then. Don't tell me it doesn't happen anymore. I pray in tongues every day, and I am so thankful that I know how real it is. I'm so thankful that God gave it to me. It's for anybody. It's not a big deal. That's God wants to give it. You're born, you're baptized, you're repenting your sins, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's desire to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're the one complicating it. He wants to fill you. Go in your house, go in an altar, go to in your shower. I don't care. Magnify God. He inhabits the praises of his people. You lift him up, you're going to feel the power of God over you. Keep on talking. God's going to give you prayer language. And some people, it's like little kids when they're born. When a kid's born, he doesn't come out and say, hey, what's happening? How you doing? He goes, goo goo gaga, right? Some people, it takes time and their language develops. And God, I'm not telling you make up sounds. I'm telling you that as you begin, like anything new, God, you find out that as you're praying more and more and more, you become used to it. You start praying. Sometimes you're praying in languages you never even knew what you're doing. It's super. It's unbelievably real and powerful. And it's for everybody. That's the point. For everybody. That's the New Testament covenant. being born again, water, spirit, repentance, that's it. Now, we go on from here. We got 4 weeks left, but that's it.